music.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program, In the Now, Q&A with Carla L. Ruckert. Today is Friday, January 27th, 2012. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research, and I am the head moderator of the Bring Forth Forums at www.bringforth.org, and that's bring, the number four, th.org. I will be asking Carla questions that come from you. If you'd like to ask Carla a question live on the air, please call 347-884-8770 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 347-884-8770. Or you can join the chat room on the webpage for In the Now at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember that this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. We are actually back after almost a year of being off the air because Carla has had a surgery and a rather difficult time recuperating from that. And Carla, are you with us?
I am with you. It's so good to be here, Monica.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice and just to be back on the air. I know it's been a rough time for you since the surgery, and everybody's been so concerned about you. Everyone's been praying for you and asking about you on the forum. And I'm sure the first thing everybody wants to know is, how are you doing now?
Well, I'm doing just fine. I'm not going to tell anybody that it's not challenging in its way. It certainly is. But when you consider that every time I go out and I try to walk my laps and keep the spirit moving, and even when the flesh is weak, I have so many cards that everywhere we ran out of places in the house to put them. I would walk laps around the house and going from the kitchen into the living room, from the living room into the hall, from the hall into the kitchen, you know, so forth, round and round. Every surface was so full of cards, we had no other place to put them. And that was just, you know, at the beginning in April, and we had to take them down and put up more. I mean, it was just incredible how much support there is, how many prayers, how much absent healing. And really, if you'll think about it, for someone that is spiritually oriented, or you know it's not a mistake, you know that you're not being punished for anything, you know that it's not some kind of New Age guilt, you have been offered a gift of quiet time. And I really took it as such, and I said, you know, okay, Spirit, what is the gift that this quiet time has in its pocket for me? And I have had very intense inner seeking because I realized what the gift was, time, simply time. Time to affirm who I am and what my worth is, time to stand and hold the light when I could do nothing else but hold the light. And I've said to people all my life, don't pay attention to my channeling, pay attention to my being. It's not doing, it's being. Well, this was my chance to express that where the rubber hits the road, and it has felt really good. I'm certainly a fool and an idiot, and I fall off the wagon every day, at least every 15 minutes. But in general, I've basically been spending this time counting my blessings. It's been difficult. There's a lot of discomfort involved in it. I came home from the hospital with 5 infections that I did not go in there with. And it's not the operation itself, which was on my lower spine, and has been a success. I'm still walking, and it looks to me like that nerve problem that was going to put me in a wheelchair has been reined in, and I will continue to be able to walk. That's what the operation was all about. It's the infections that they simply could never close the wound. So it was like every 6 weeks I would be back in the hospital for another procedure, get another drain, and then that wouldn't work either, and I'd be back for another debridement. So eventually they finally got the idea of putting me on something called a wound vac. And this is a piece of technology that has been used most notably, I think, for people with cesarean sections that have trouble healing because the floor of the pelvis there is a complicated place for a woman, and a lot of things happen there. It's very easy to get infections there. And so the wound vac places a negative vacuum on a wound. You don't close it. You clean it. You do everything that's necessary to it, and then you sort of shrink wrap it and place this negative vacuum over it, and at the corner of everything there's a pump. The pump pulls away all the infection, all the liquid, all the serum, all the things that are coming off of the wound, and it just pulls it away and pulls it away, and it's very slow, but it's very safe. It's very steady. And it's worked beautifully on me. So my wound is beginning to get smaller. And I am beginning to think that, you know, I said last year, I said I'll heal with the springtime. Well, I just had the particular year wrong. I'll heal with this springtime. I'll bloom with this summer's flowers. And I'm very, very grateful to the people that made this thing up, although I never thought that medicine would be a matter of plastic patch kits and shrink wrap. It just, that's the way it is. And it's what's saved me, and I'm just so grateful to have come through everything and to be, you know, more and more back, living a normal life and getting back to some of that outer work that I tell people, don't pay any attention to that. Just pay attention to the fact that I stand here and I hold the light in my being. And I still think that that's true. I think that when all is said and done, if people can say, you know, well, you know, she really did, I'll be happy, because it's not what you do. It's how you are. You have the choice, and that choice for me is love. So I am back here talking about it. It's so good to be here.
Wonderful. Well, you know, you just look around, and just about everybody we know is either going through some sort of physical challenge, or they have a loved one that is. I mean, there's just so many physical health issues going on right now, and presumably because we do have increased catalyst right now. So I'm sure that everything you just shared is going to be very helpful for those who are in the midst of some sort of physical challenge. So thank you for being so open with your own struggles and sharing the lessons that you've learned from that. I think that's really wonderful. So, okay, well, we're going to start tonight's show with a greeting from one of our members at Bring Forth named Plenum, who's one of the people who was concerned about you, and this is just a quick comment that he made. Dear Carla, I don't have a question as such, but I just wanted to wish you all the best on your recovery. I also wanted to thank you for all the work you've done in the last 30-plus years. It is spiritual nourishment for those who don't have the particular skill of channeling. Many thanks from Plenum.
Oh, and what a beautiful message. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for those kind words. And as
absolutely.
I said, I every day people write in. Some of them don't know anything about what's going on with me personally, but they've run upon our site, you know, and they go, oh my heavens, I found where I can actually cope, you know, this is home, and that's why we're here. We're at this pop stand because people do that. People let us know that we're on the right track, and my husband and I are two of the three people that began this L&L research, and we will be here as long as we're swimming laps and enjoying ourselves here, and you know, we'll turn out the lights when we leave, because we're going to stay here for every single instant of this fascinating time.
Okay, well, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah, I am too. So
go ahead.
Let's start with, I wanted to come back with some people have written and are so concerned about 2012. And so I thought, well, let's start with that. You know, we always start with a quote, and then I talk a little bit. So let's start with a quote about about this.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and go into that quote, but just briefly before I do, I need to make a quick correction to the phone number I gave earlier. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio has changed the guest call-in number since we last had our show. And the new, so everyone can just disregard the number I gave earlier, and the new number to call in to ask your questions live is 646-595-2294. That's 646-595-2294, and be sure and press the 1 key so that we know you want to be live on the show, or you can just listen if you'd rather not. Okay, our first quote for tonight is from Ra from session 40.8. Questioner, then what will be the time of transition on this planet from third to fourth density? I am Ra. This is difficult to estimate due to the uncharacteristic anomalies of this transition. There are, at this space-time nexus, beings incarnate which have begun fourth-density work. However, the third-density climate of planetary consciousness is retarding the process. At this particular nexus, the possibility-probability vortices indicate somewhere between 100 and 700 of your years as transition period. This cannot be accurate due to the volatility of your peoples at this space-time. Questioner, has the vibration of the photon increased in frequency already? I am Ra. This is correct.
Okay. Maybe a couple of comments before we begin, because there are some terms there that are head-scratchers. One, the concept of densities. We're supposedly, according to the Confederation material, in third density, the yellow ray, or as they call it, the true color yellow ray density. We are transitioning at this point into fourth density, which is the density of love and understanding in the Confederation scheme of things. It is the true color green ray density. And so they're talking about the shift of the ages, as it's been called. They're talking about that predicted event that people give different dates to, depending upon what person that they believe is most accurate in talking about Jesus the Christ's prophecy, or talking about the prophecy of the Mayans based on the Mayan calendar. One often bruited about date is the winter solstice of 2012. We've heard 2011. We've heard quite a few different dates. But whatever that basic time is, it is shifting. In terms of astrology, it's shifting from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. Now, that's the density thing. We're moving from the density of choice, as the Confederation calls it, to the density of love and understanding. Now, there are, Ra says, at this time, space-time nexus, people who have begun fourth density work. In other words, they're ready to move on. The planet is certainly ready to move on. So the Ra group says, well, because of the fact that the planetary population is having a very hard time, you know, coming up to the vibrational level of love and understanding, there is an in-between transition period that may be between 100 and 700 of years long. Okay. The confusion usually centers around the fact that the planet and its people are changing from the density of choice to the density of love. The planet doesn't have a choice about when it happens. It happens whether it's the winter solstice of 2012 or what precise time it happens. As far as the Ra group is concerned, it has happened, because they say has the vibration of the photon increased in frequency already, Don asks, and Ra says, mildly, this is correct. Now, they're saying that the photon, that unit of light that makes up space-time, everything's made of light in the space-time world, and that unit of light has changed from third density light to fourth density light. So the planet has gone and left us behind. But we don't have to be left behind. What we need to do, you see, is what we can do and what we are called to do. What we can do and what we're called to do is to live by fourth density values. The Ra Group, the Confederation in general, talks a lot about fourth density values. Love, understanding, unity, compassion. It's not difficult to figure out what the fourth density focus is. The fourth density focus is one where everything is known, nothing is hidden, and everything is forgiven. Now, it's very difficult for people to forgive, and the hardest person in the world to forgive is the self. So people are having a great deal of difficulty with self-forgiveness. And what needs to happen at this moment is for people to let that go. Knowing the self means that you realize that there are thoughts that you have that are in the shadow side. In fact, we have 360 degrees of personality. We have a big shadow side. We are everything. You are everything, every person, every emotion, the Ra Group says over and over. We have those things. We choose among the things that we have as resources of our personality to use those things that we feel best express for us, our belief system. And so we choose to react to those things that occur to us, to the situations that happen, to the relationships and the things that happen within those relationships, with love, with understanding, with forgiveness. And with forgiving not just the other person when there's something, you know, wrong, when there's something, we must change this, but forgiving self also for being such a yahoo as to have those feelings in the first place. Well, you know, sue us, we're human. This is the density of choice. If we didn't have all those feelings, what would there be from which to choose? So it's all right. It's all right that we have all of these things that are offered to us as ways to act. Our responsibility at this time is simply to choose, well, the ways of love and understanding. That's what we need at this point. Not that process where we go, oh dear, what's going to happen on the great day? Because you see, it's not a physical event. It's a metaphysical event. It's not an event in the illusion. It's an event that's beyond the illusion that changes the way the illusion manifests. So in our latter third density, thoughts are beginning to become things. And it's not surprising that you have very good people showing up and seemingly very negatively oriented people showing up, because after all, it is a two-way graduation. You can graduate in service to others. You can graduate in service to self. So that puts us into a very interesting situation where we are looking at the best of the best of those who want to grow in love of self, in service to self, by enslaving others and using them. And also seeing all these wonderful Mother Teresa types and those unspoken, unheard of, unsung heroes that all of us know that are service to others. You know, watch that all going on and let the reaction that we have be fearlessness, calm, and surety, because we know what's happening. We know that third density light is waning. We know that this is probably our last incarnation here, definitely our last incarnation as a third density person, whether wanderer or native. And if we come back here during this period of 100 to 700 years, it won't be as a third density entity. It will be as a fourth density wanderer. who has decided that the first thing that he wants to do as a fourth density person is to serve the Creator by coming back to planet Earth and trying the best they can to heal the planet itself, to love Mother Earth, to heal the water, to heal the earth, to heal the air, and to set things right, sort of tuck everything all neat and tidy on the way out the door to fourth density. Let's hold that in our minds, because I believe that we truly are at the tipping point where we can choose to live in fourth density, and we can indeed experience that surety, that peace, and that power, and feel our worth, not because we are in and of ourselves so terrific, but because we set our intention to make a space in this world to allow the light of the Creator to flow through us. That little light of ours, as the song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. One person after another says, yes, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to turn to the light. I'm going to let the light flow through me. And I'm going to be part of the light of planet Earth. And you have right there, by your intention, helped the planet. That's the work we have ahead of us right now. Monica, I know that there's almost no end to the things that you can talk about with this question. Do you have any follow-ups that you would like to get to first before we go on to questions? Anything you think people may be asking?
Yes, absolutely. There have been a lot of discussions about this very topic, and there seems to be a lot of concern and confusion among our members regarding the harvest, and I don't have all the quotes at my fingertips, but there are some threads on our bringforth.org forum in the harvest section if anyone wishes to pursue those in more depth. But people are asking questions and bringing up quotes from Ra, such as the one saying that we will be in 4D within 30 years, and that date was supposedly November of 2011, then there's some question about it being 2012. And you just answered that to a great degree, but I'm wondering if you might clarify a little bit more about the difference between planetary harvest and individual harvest. And secondly, there was a quote about, you know, I don't remember the exact quote, but something about once the planet is 4D, that it would no longer sustain 3D life. So people are thinking, well, wait a minute, we're still 3D beings, except for those that might be dual activated. So how is it that we can continue to live here on this planet once the planet is 4D? And this, in conjunction with a particular quote about the physical vehicle needing to essentially die in order to go from 3D to 4D, then there's some question about, well, gosh, does that mean we're all going to have to die in the next year in order to go live in the 4D Earth or go on to our home planet or whatever the case may be? So there seems to be a lot of confusion about that whole thing.
Well, and who would blame people for getting confused? Because the Confederation material turns what we think we know on its ear and goes 180 degrees out. It says that what we think we know of as real, that we can feel, touch, see, taste, so forth, is a system of illusions that is created by light, by structures of light. It says that that which is far more real and less of an illusion than that is what they call time-space as opposed to space-time. Now, you can more easily see the vibration of space-time and time-space if I ask people to think about the mental brain, the intellect, the encephalos, and then think about what you could call the brain of the heart, which is all insight, the knowing that can't be proven, living by faith, that unseen and unknown, which is far more real than that which is apparently seen and known. You know the difference in yourself between the consciousness that you have when you rest in the presence of the one creator and just say, I'm here. This is where I want to be. I am in your presence. Thank you so much. And just rest there. And then you look at the busy mind scurrying about, trying so very, very hard to make sense of it all. And intellectualizing and rationalizing over and onward and forever. It is not that I condemn the intellect. I've got a good one. I think it's an important thing to use. What I ask people to do is to become aware of the other mind, the mind that they have when they just know something, when they just know that love is the right way, that faith is not foolish, when they reach out to people in insight and they can't prove what they see, but they realize that that person on the soul level is a completely different person than the person that is expressing at the level of the intellect. There is so much more to us than we can rationally understand. And the Confederation simply says, give yourself time to move from your head to your heart, to move from that which lives and then dies to that level at which you are a citizen of foreverness. You are a creature that is eternal. So that the things that really matter will matter the same in 10,000 years as they matter right now. When you can say that a question that you have will be of the same concern to you in 10,000 years as it is now, you know that you have moved into the realm of consciousness. You have moved into that which we all hold in common, because we have completely individual minds, intellects, but we only have one consciousness. We share that in common. We are all one. So if we're third density, we're living here as our last incarnation as a third density, single activated third density person. What is going to die here, what has pretty much died here now, the light has failed in third density, in the third density sun. The sun has pretty much gone down. We are in fourth density light now. Fourth density light is a light which reveals thought, so that thoughts become things. And when we're working at the level of consciousness, when we're working at that time-space level, then we can claim that fourth density beingness that is ours, because it's, you know, potentiated or not, it is there within us to seek and to see and to have, as we accept the fact that we are indeed all one, that we are indeed all made of love, and that we do share that love in common. The confusion about, well, you can't, you know, come back anymore when you're third density because third density won't support you. Well, just like second density is fully here even during the true color yellow third density of choice, third density is still here during the true color green density of love and understanding. But you can't do the same work in the density of love and understanding that you can do in the density of choice. I think the people that are here, the people that by seniority of vibration have earned the right to have one last incarnation here, somewhere in them know the truth. And as they claim that truth, that we are all one, and that that one thing is love, and as they begin to act as if they knew that, to behave as they are inspired to behave, by spirit, by faith, by a realization of what the heart is telling them to do, that they can live by fourth density values and do quite well. Certainly, it's not a good place to make the choice anymore, because our thoughts become things, and we're killing ourselves off in droves. For instance, in that session 40, it goes right on, not too far from that, and we'll take that up next week, to talk about healing, to talk about how anger can become cancer because thoughts become things. And if you have not forgiven somebody and you have no realization that you don't, you know, you need to forgive, well, that can express in your body as unwanted cell growth or cancer. And Ross says very specifically, remember, it's not just the other self that you need to forgive. It's yourself. You need to forgive yourself for being human, because now is the time to welcome the dawn of fourth density, to say, yeah, I'm ready to live by love. And that, I think, will clear up the confusion of, well, you know, is everything going to stop at once? I don't believe it will. It's never scared me to think about, well, you know, I could be wrong. And certainly you can't prove any of this stuff. There's room for doubt in any system of revealed faith or belief. And certainly the Rock group was ambiguous at times. But I think that the simple truth is that we are as we are. We're probably in our last third density incarnation. And it's time just to grasp our life and say, you know, the rest of my life, I am going to dedicate, I am going to set down my intention to offer myself as a place where love dwells. Not because I create that love, but because I make the space for love to be within me, to flow through me and out into the world. I make 49,000 mistakes in any given year. But you always pick yourself up and go, whoa, that was a mistake. And I now firmly intend not to do that anymore. And you start over, you know. You just simply don't get discouraged. You realize that every moment that you make that choice is a moment that you've given to the values that are most important to you. And among those, the chief are the values of love and understanding and forgiveness of yourself and others.
Okay, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that since we're already in 4D light, that the whole question of, you know, a sudden event, whether it's planetary or individual, is really kind of moot in a way, because it's really the present moment that's important, and what we choose to do with this light that we're in now.
Yes, that's so true.
And, okay.
You know, it's impossible to prove, and there will always be people, fundamentalists of any religion, fundamentalists even of something that's not a religion at all, but just a philosophy like the Confederation philosophy is, that will say, but it says here, and I quote, you know, and it's that mindset of grabbing onto something and saying this has to be literally true, you know, and and then because of that quote, you say, well, you know, we're doomed, we're just absolutely doomed, and you know, God or Dhammarung is here, and the twilight of the gods is rollicking merrily, and you know, we won't wake up on after the winter solstice. I don't think that's the way it is. I think it's a non-event in terms of physicality. I think that the planet itself has moved into a new area of space and time, and that light itself is vibrating at a different rate, and that the photon itself has changed, and that scientists are scratching their heads busily trying to figure out all kinds of subatomic particles because they weren't there before, but they're here now because the photon has changed. So I think it's time just to let things go. People are so focused on, well, what will happen. But the thing of it is, if we are eternal, if we move into incarnation, move out of incarnation, move back into incarnation, when we finally learned a group of lessons, we are harvested to another whole density of learning. And we start that school of life all over again on a new level, and we have new lessons to learn. And, of course, the lessons are much more in detail now. You're working more slowly, more carefully, and you're not able to make the sweeping decisions that we were able to make in the density of choice. When you try to make sweeping things like that happen, and you're not in full awareness of who you are and in full acceptance and self-forgiveness of who you are, then you find yourself in increasingly toxic situations. So I would put prime importance on knowing yourself and, above all things, accepting yourself, both the physicality and the third density personhood of the self as it is in this incarnation, and the eternal, infinite self that is one with the infinite creator and part of a unity that extends in love to all densities, all entities, and all situations whatsoever.
Okay, I'd like to remind everyone that we have a new phone number for the guest call-in, 646-595-2294. That's 646-595-2294. You can call in and listen to the show, or if you'd like to join the show and ask a question live, please be sure to push the 1 key to let me know that you'd like to ask your question, and I will let you in, and you can ask your question to Carla. We have the next question is from Pablissimo, and Pablissimo says, "Hi, Carla. Great to hear you're feeling better. We're so grateful for your work and your spirit. This is a joy to hear. I do have a question or a topic for the radio show. Could you please discuss what is the time lateral and how was it formed, in your opinion? This topic is being discussed in a recent thread on Bring Forth at bringforth.org. In the sessions in focus section, and the thread is called What is a Time Lateral?" So Pablissimo goes on to say, "It prompted me to look further into this topic, but I realize I do not fully understand the Quo transcripts. I would very much appreciate hearing your insights on this topic, especially regarding movement between the timelines. Thanks and love to all."
Okay, Pablissimo, thank you for your kind words. I greatly appreciate this. The time lateral is a marvelous story, and let me tell you about that a little bit. You don't find it in the Law of One material because Don died some time ago, and that question was not one that he asked. The question that he asked gave you all the basics. But the time lateral is a story that it was left to those of the Kuo group to offer. When someone asked about the seeming reality, that it seemed as though we were having more time to make fourth density here at the end of third density than it was possible. And the story unfolded from those of Kuo over several different readings and in many questions after that. And it was a story of those service to self entities who saw an opportunity at the end of third density to use the extension of time that was the time lateral that had been proposed by positively oriented helpers to give to those trying to make this decision the absolute maximum time available to make this decision before the end of third density. And as this was granted, it was as though time, space-time, our illusion, shunted off the main track into a time lateral where it took a little bit longer for time to pass. so that it was more mismatched than usual from time space. And during that time, we had additional opportunities to make dramatic decisions for ourselves, to change the way we wanted to make choices. Okay? And they simply said, look, what if we take this time lateral and hijack it? What if we cause so much fear among the planetary population of Earth that there is no hope? Everyone is certain that all is lost, and fear will reign, and everyone will take care of himself and his people, you know, and will make sure that his family has what it needs, and just sort of not worry too much about the planet as a whole, but just take care of itself. You see people doing this at this point, people going off and trying to create safe places where they're off the grid so that if we run out of power, they don't run out of power. If we run out of money, they don't run out of money, and so forth. There's a lot of that kind of fear. Everything's coming to an end. The economy is collapsing and so forth. And there are lots of rationales that show how things could happen very wrongly. So, will they succeed? No. Because we did get to a tipping point some time ago now. I think it was in 2007. I'm not sure. I haven't had time to look that up. And so I may not be giving you right, but it's possible for anybody to use the key word search function on the LL Research site, which has all of the channelings that I have done from the Confederation on it, and of course Toby Wheelock's site, www.lawofone.info, where he has not only the raw sessions numbered but also the questions numbered, and there's a beautiful search function on that. So you can find out what the raw material might have said, and beyond that, what the Confederation philosophy in general might have said about virtually any topic by searching out the search function on llresearch.org and the search function on lawofone.info. The basic feeling from the Confederation is that they had their go, and they've made a lot of people scared. But more and more people are waking up from the grassroots level onward, and they just don't buy it. They no longer buy the fact that, you know, there are no more good guys and that the bad guys are going to win. They don't buy it, and they're acting as if they don't buy it because they're simply moving on, loving others, serving others. You know, I know of all kinds of beautiful people that donate, you know, their young lives to getting water for people that don't have water in Africa. Daughter of a friend of mine, whose mother and father both at one time worked for National Geographic, and so she was as a baby in Niger and many different parts of Africa, and you know, rode the desert on camel. As a baby, I mean, it's quite an unusual childhood for sure. But she became aware of the desperate need for water that makes the difference between life and death. In many cases, you can't just dig a well in the desert. You have to dig a borehole, which is a much more expensive thing. So she's spent her young life so far. And so far, you know, she's gotten the millions of dollars together to get first one borehole, now another one, and now she's on her third one. And she's simply tireless. And people are inspired by her. And little by little, the money comes in, possibilities are opened. And she is by far not the only one. You see this happening time and time and time again. Small scale, large scale, doesn't matter. People are just... say no. They just say no. I won't be afraid anymore. I am not going to be on yellow alert or amber alert or whatever. I'm going to serve as I have the light to serve, and you know, not worry about whether I'm doing a good thing, not worry about how well I'm doing, but simply do the best I can. And because of the fact that it's at the grassroots level, you see, the big guys, the big guns, the guys that show above the radar, that have all of the power, the Homeland Security people that look so much like the German SS of World War II that it's kind of scary, even the uniforms, you know, with the little riding pants. You kind of go, oh, why did they pick that? It's just a little spooky. But when you look beyond that and you realize that they've lost, the dragon is still thrashing his tail, but he's walking off the stage. He has not been able to stop the time lateral from rejoining the regular time. And certainly after the winter solstice of 2012, or whatever the actual date is when the planet sits down on fourth density and says, yeah, this is now the age of Aquarius. Whenever that astrological event occurs, and it's set in time just like a clock turns midnight, we will be on the regular track again, and the train is going to be very comfortingly normal. And they have lost. It doesn't look like they've lost, because in our society, it's exciting to watch disasters happen. So as the saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads. But that's not what's actually happening at the spiritual level. At the spiritual level, the tipping point has been passed, and that time lateral is closing. I'm very happy to say that all the readings report everyone a little bit, you know, as we ask again, you know, how's it doing now? It's closing. And just like the wound vac on my back, you know, it's taking the poison away harmlessly. And soon it will be no more. So we just need to realize that that is a marvelous story, but a story. And that has an ending. And the ending is that we all did live happily ever after.
So just for a little, just a minute, so I can have it clear in my head and hopefully the person that asked this question, the time lateral itself then, I'm envisioning it as sort of like an alternate timeline, what people would call an alternate timeline, in which the negative entities kind of think they're in control and we see all this stuff going on. So when the time lateral rejoins the main timeline, then I would assume the negative entities would no longer have such control. Is that, am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, and it's one of those things where those who were service to others thought of a way to make things happen, you know, more easily for people, to try to give more resources to those who were trying to make the choice. So they went before the Council of Saturn and asked if they could create a time lateral to give people more subjective time. In other words, that there would be more dramatic ways that people would come to realize and see, as if in an epiphany or a vision, that it was time to make a choice, and the choice was for love. And so that there was an additional intensity to the time between now and when fourth density hit the planet. And during that time, they would have more chances to make these choices, to make these first choices on which the rest of several densities actually depend. And naturally, those service to self entities who were disgruntled at this saw a way to even use that. And that is by taking the timeline over, not allowing third density planetary Earth ever to rejoin the time, the normal time line. People would be stuck on this side railroad that had nothing but fear and more fear and war and terror. And they envisioned a place where people were constantly at war, where people felt that it was the right thing to do, to die for your country was noble, and so forth and so on. and that people would, you know, send the best of their young men again and again and again into battle, and there would be this constantly growing fear, this constantly deepening sadness because of all the loss, this constantly embittering distance between one nation state and another. And it, to some extent, can be seen to have had some success in the foreign policy of even our own nation state. It's crushing to realize just how warlike we are and how many warlike aggressions that we have expressed in the last little while. It certainly shows all of the symptoms of, say, the last times of the Roman Empire or any empire. You know, you look at empires, they rise and they fall. The way to sustain is not to become an empire, but to become a self-sustaining service to others place where the value system was such that there was no need to move into separation. There was the need simply to talk things out, to work out differences, to help others, to accept help from others, and to say, okay, here we are, we're all in this together, what shall we do to make this a better place for all of us, whether it's a better city, a better country, or a better world. It's thinking that is the issue here. It's not so much what people do, it's how people think. And when you catch people thinking, well, we have to separate from so-and-so because they're simply wrong and we're simply right, we must win, we cannot allow, we must conserve resources, we cannot let those resources go to others, and so forth and so on, you develop an ever-growing fear, an ever-growing terror. And if you instead use the capacity that we all have for communication, for working things out to find win-win situations, and there are so many people that are wonderful spokespersons of this kind of thinking, then you begin to find yourself opening up into a world where positive changes can occur and where you can, in a relatively short period of time, create a whole different take on life. It hasn't happened. As we, you know, as we see the world, it hasn't happened. But it's beginning to happen in people's hearts. It's beginning to happen down below the level of the economists and the warmongers and so forth. It's beginning to happen with regular people who just want to reach out to others, you know, volunteerism and taking care of and reaching out to people that need this or need that and swapping things with people. Look, I've got what you need, you've got what I need. You know, there's a whole way of thinking about things in which everybody can achieve positive changes. So we just need to be looking for that, and to we need to look to release the fear, to release that easy acceptance of, well, I guess we had to be in that war. Well, I guess, you know, we have to have those resources. No, not necessarily. What we need to do is keep our integrity and who we are stayed upon the ways of love, so that we are creatures of love, so that when we act, we feel good about that, and it feels right to us to live the way we do. And I think from simple questions to ourselves like, does this feel right? Is this what my highest and best self would do? We begin to become free of that pervasive fear that people, some people in our society would very much like us to buy and just spend all our time just quivering in fear, in, you know, a series of alerts. I don't know how to make it so clear that it's obvious, the cause of the fact that it's not obvious. In a world where appearances are taken to be what happens, and what's actually happening isn't even seen, it's very difficult to move into a spiritual perspective where you live in faith and you feel, you simply feel that some energies are one with love and some are not. And you would choose to be those who allow those energies that are loving. It really is a choice, and it's a choice in which love is always available. It's a matter of letting the world's hubbub die down just long enough to feel that ever-present consciousness that we all share, because it's a consciousness of love. And once we know who we are and whose we are, it's very difficult to shake such a person. They will acknowledge, yes, it looks really bad, but you know what? I'm going to live my life and do the best I can. And it's hard to shake a person from that. And after all, to die is to have the opportunity to perhaps wake up in the process of graduation. And after this incarnation, we all will subjectively be able to walk those steps of light that I've talked with you about before, Monica. And we will all be hopefully ready to go into steps of light that are in fourth density and that therefore are just burgeoning with so many more choices of ways to serve, so many more exciting things to learn. A whole new grade in school is beginning, and there isn't any need to fear or to hold on to anything. I'm not saying that we would yearn towards death. I don't say that at all, because we're here because we thought maybe we could be of some service here. So, you know, stay here every minute that we're here and take every opportunity we have. But at that point at which a physical incarnation ends and another begins, then we move with those energies, and we are who we are without any disruption whatsoever in our consciousness or our being.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Carla. We are actually out of time, and I'd like to mention to the person that was on hold for just the last few minutes, I'm so sorry that we didn't get to you. Please be sure and call us back next week, and we'll be sure and answer your call and have you ask your question live on the air. The call came in about 10 minutes ago, I guess, and we just didn't have the time to get to that question, but please do call us back. And to everyone, you have been listening to LL Research's In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert. I'm your host, Monica Leal. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit our two websites, llresearch.org, which is LL Research's archive website, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more, and bringforth.org, that's bring the number 4th.org, is LL Research's community website featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. Thanks so much for listening in, and a special thank you to those who submitted questions. If you'd like to submit a question for Carla before the next show, please visit the Bring Forth forums at bringforth.org and go to the miscellaneous section and post to the thread Q&A with Carla L. Ruckert submitting questions. Have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom, Carla. And to our listeners, please feel free to call in next week. We'll be here at 8 o'clock Eastern. See you then.